Hey, listen, the All-Star Mile nominations open today. It is racing's new $5 million baby, Tim, set for Flemington, March 16. It is a novelty, at least in the way it's going about it. It's a voting system, of course. There's a pool of horses and public votes count who gets in the race.
So, that's right. Yeah, I think there's going to be like either 100 horses are going to be nominated.
I think there was 135, but a man who will know is Maestro horse trainer James Cummings, and he joins us on the lines. Good morning, Maestro.
Good morning, Sam and Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all, mate. Are you excited about this? the voting opens up this morning, as I say, and we're heading into a new frontier here.
Well, we're excited because it's got the opportunity to engage the wider public in racing much more than we have ever before. Hopefully it's a success, and we've nominated three horses, Hartnell, Best of Days, and Elise for the race, and we're trying to garner a few votes for those horses to gain their spot in the field.
So, James, just to explain how it works, you need enough of the racing fan base to vote for your horses for them to get a start?
That's correct. There's 10 horses that we voted in by the public, and so long as the horses are rated at least at edge...
Oh, we got you there, Maestro.
Then those horses are eligible. And, of course, then there are going to be four wild cards voted in by the clubs or RVL to make sure that, you know, if there's a little bit of a shortfall on quality, there's four wild cards voted in by the experts. But certainly getting one of the 10 horses voted in by the public would be pretty exciting to know that there's a big group of people behind your horse.
What about the trainers? How excited are the trainers about this concept?
The trainers enjoy it because the prize money is exceptional. Mm. And gives them an opportunity to compete at that level without having to, it's not a Group 1 race. In fact, it has no black type status. But it's what we're calling lately these concept races that manage to spring up and provide a little bit more colour and excitement and engagement with the racing audience, just to give the sport a bit of an edge going in and hopefully attracting a fresh and vibrant and new style of audience than what we've had before.
Hey, so have you had owners say, okay, we don't want you to prepare a horse for this race, even though it's a Group 1 race and it's got all this status, we want you to prepare our horse for this, the All-Star Mile, instead?
Well, yes, and vice versa. Because the race doesn't have that Group 1 status, there is a way up, if you'd like, between the status and the prestige of Group 1 racing. Of course, on the same day, there's a Group 1 Coolmore handicap for fillies and mares in Sydney.
Yep.
But it's worth $500,000 in prize money. And in Melbourne, on the same day, the new All-Star Mile race, well, it's worth 10 times as much. But for Elise, for example, who's already won 4 Godolphin, 5 stakes races, and including 2 Group 1s, but for Elise, we have to weigh up the value for adding to her page, in other words, her pedigree performance on the racetrack, and the prize money she might win in the All-Star Mile, and that's one of the interesting elements of this concept.
Hey, James, we've got about 40 seconds before we get to the news here, but it's our first show of the year, and the alarm was frightful this morning. You got any tips for getting up early that we should adopt?
Well, you guys are better at it than me. You guys get up just as early. My alarm goes at 5 to 3, but I've got 2 kids I've got to be worried about waking up. I don't know if you guys have got that problem.
5 to 3, did you say?
Yeah, 5 to 3. But hang on, they tell me, Sam, they tell me you're a little bit more of a racing nut than Tim.
Well, I don't know if nut's the right word, but
so you tell me which of my three horses do you think has the best chance of getting in and winning the All-Star Mile.
I like Hartnell. You've got me on the hop, but I'm going to go Hartnell. We've got to get to the news.
I like Elise, by the way, James.
He's the favourite. It should be mentioned.
Oh, good on you, Tim.
Good on you.
For Schnitz, obsessed with golden brown pan-cooked schnitzel and Melbourne Airport parking. For warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. 1 hour terminal parking, only $12. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on 1116 SEN.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Huge show still set to come here. The breakfast menu, thanks to Schnitz, as it is each and every morning. Sean Higgins still to come. He's going to join us in the studio. North Melbourne's All-Australian on how the Kangas are shaping up Wisp. They've been getting into some match simulation down there in Arden Street. It's been pretty willing.
Stimulation, yeah.
Match simulation. Luke Bratton, Melbourne City. They just keep grinding out the results. Melbourne City getting it done. No really recognised striker at the moment. They just keep getting
when
points.
When you say getting it done,
Well, they're getting results. They're fourth.
Okay.
They got the Fornaroli saga there. They don't have a striker, but they just keep grinding it out.
Yep.
Channel 9's Jim Courier, he's going to join us. What a night in the Australian Open. And before we get to the Australian Open, it'd be remiss of me not to mention the Australian Open update, which we need to get to thanks to Kia, of course, Tim.
Now for another Kia Australian Open update thanks to Kia, with match-winning deals. Plus, every new Kia comes with a 7-year factory warranty. And California Sports Surfaces. California Sports Surfaces, manufacturers and suppliers of the world-class FlexiPave and FlexiCushion tennis court surfaces.
What a night it was at the Australian Open too. If you're just waking up to it, Stefanos Tsitsipas, the Greek prodigy, 20 years of age, knocks over Roger Federer, the double defending champion, in four tight sets.
And if you didn't watch this, okay, if you didn't watch a ball struck in anger last night, this is all you need to know. Roger played exceedingly well.
He did play well.
He played extremely well. In fact, there were moments in that game, particularly early after the first set, I thought that he might have just blown the kid off the court. But he wasn't able to do that. He composed himself and... this young man is the real deal, is the real deal. And for anybody that's been involved in tennis for a while, that is not news to you. But for a lot of people out there, they'll be thinking, who is this young Greek kid that's beaten Roger Federer? Well, he can really play. He's going to be around for some time.
Indeed. And did you catch it? Give us a buzz. 1-300-736-736 is the number. All the text, of course, 0433-98-1116. We are powered by Pan-Cooked Schnitzel tonight. Of course, thanks to Schnitz. Melbourne Airport parking, warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. And we mentioned off the top, Tim, all callers this week will get a Bataki voucher, not a ham. They can choose a ham if they wish. But a voucher, that's good enough. But the caller of the year will be in the running for a brand new Toyota Hilux. So if you get the call of the week, you go in the running to become the caller of the year.
On Friday, we will announce who the caller of the week is. You go into the running to become caller of the year.
And if you are caller of the year, you win the Toyota Hilux.
That's right. And that is absolutely magnificent. So jump on the line when we're having this discussion at any time. We'd love to hear from you this morning, and you get the opportunity to go into the running for that brand new Toyota Hilux. I'm going to do this many times throughout the course of the year. I'm going to ask stupid questions, okay? And I'm going to keep a stupid question file, and I'm just about to enter one, okay, after that interview with James the Maestro Cummings.
Yes.
Okay? Because he obviously trains for the Godolphins.
Yes.
Right? I asked him a question about whether or not he's had an owner come to him and tell him that he would prefer his horse to actually run in the All-Star Mile or to go after one of the Group 1 races. Of course, he doesn't need to do that because he will be instructed by the Godolphins as to what he will be doing.
He hasn't always been with them, of course, but,
no,
he is with them now. The text did come in, of course. The SEN family, they don't miss a beat, do they?
No, they don't.
He has one owner, a shake. Good start.
Yep.
So there we go.
Okay, let's have a discussion about this. And
conversation started.
And Ash Barty, we haven't spoken about Ash Barty, but she is playing quite magnificent tennis at the moment. Okay?
Indeed.
Defeated Maria Sharapova at the weekend.
Best winner of her life, that one.
Okay, and the best result for an Australian female tennis player, I think, since Elena Dokic.
10 years ago. Decade.
Okay,
since woman's got this far at the Australian Open.
That's right. So it is a great performance, and there hasn't been a lot of them. And she's been in tennis for a long time. She started as a kid. But the interesting thing is she took a 2-year break. Okay, she got jack of the sport. She tired of the grind of the sport. She tired of the traveling. She tired of all the things. She had no enthusiasm or excitement there for her. And she went and played?
She went and played cricket.
That's right.
Yeah, she went and played cricket. She just said it was too much too quickly, basically, the tennis. Too much travel, too
that's
young.
Right. So
needed
she,
a release.
Yeah, and she probably needed a little bit of perspective in her life as well, which she was able to achieve by going off and playing another sport. She was very good at cricket as well. But I think probably she got the itch to go back and play tennis. And now she's more mature. I think you look at her, you know, like shape-wise, she looks fitter than she's ever been before. So probably all the components that you need to be a great sports person have come together for it.
And it's not just, but it's life experience as well to a degree, surely, isn't it? I mean, you take a step back from living in the fishbowl that would be the tennis circuit, it'd be incredibly And it'd be incredible fishbowl existence, wouldn't it? Right? Hotel after hotel, flight after flight. And you take
it's a
step
grind,
back and
though.
Look at it all. Yeah.
It's a grind. And you pick up your phone. You got a young friend you went to school with who isn't on the tennis circuit, okay? And you're having discussions with them. You're a young person. You're 18, 19 years of age, and they're telling you what they're up to, and you're thinking about all the things that you're doing. You're staring at the wall inside a hotel room. You're going and playing. You're not playing well. You might be a little bit injured. You're homesick. You're on the other side of the world. Your friends are like all those sorts of things. All those things are really difficult for a young person to be able to deal with. And at some point, if it's not going the way that you would like your career to go, then obviously you're going to have a rethink about what you're doing, which he did. And that's great. I think that's great for people to do that.
That is such a bold call, though.
That's right.
Step away from your dream. How do you step away? That is so hard. That is incredibly gutsy decision.
Well, I suppose for her, there was a little bit of a softer landing because she...
At cricket.
She was so good at other sports that she could then just transfer her skills to another sport. But I just want to ask you this question, though. Do you think that this is something that maybe... I'm not sure how good Nick Kyrgios is at any other sport, okay? What we do know about him, and I don't want to turn this into a bashing for Kyrgios, because I think, you know, we often have that discussion about him, and you know, we all get disappointed with his attitude, that type of thing. But the question is... And join in, what was their number? 1-300-736-736. That's a new number. 1-300-736-736.
Effectively, 1-300-SENSEN, all the text, same as always, 0433-98-1116.
Do you think it would help? Do you think, Sam, you've been around sport a long time, do you think it would help somebody like Nick Kyrgios to step away from the sport? I mean, I know he loves playing basketball, but I can't really see him probably playing NBL basketball. I don't know that he's that good, or playing cricket for Australia or anything like that. But do you think it might be a good thing for somebody like Nick Kyrgios just to step away from the sport for a while?
Yeah, well, we keep waiting for him to mature, quote unquote, don't we? Oh, he'll mature and he'll get a good. But maybe that might not ever happen. Maybe this is the Nick Kyrgios we just have to learn to not live with, but to follow and adapt to. So, is he too far gone almost? He's much more further down the line than Ash Barty would have been in 2014. I mean, he beat Nadal as a 19-year-old. He's had some great results. He probably, I don't know, does he need life experience? I don't even know how to answer that, Tim. I mean,
he does need life experience. I mean, you listen to him.
Can you mature on the circuit?
I think you can, because you're going to have experiences that other young people don't have around the same age that are leading a completely different life, okay? But I think, you know, like the thing that sticks out with Nick Kyrgios and probably even Ash, if Ash Barty at that time had have had, when she was a young person, okay, had she had the media attention, okay, that Kyrgios had, and had we sat down with her and said, you know, do you really love your sport? Do you really love what you're doing? She probably would have said similar things, maybe not in the same way that Nick Kyrgios has said them.
So do you go away for a year and think, if you're Nick Kyrgios, well, I'm not sure I love the sport, but maybe 8 months. No, exactly.
He doesn't love the sport.
Yeah,
we know that he doesn't love the sport. He appears to play under sufferance most of the time.
But 9 months later, you think, gee, I really miss this.
You take
really
something away
that.
From somebody and you determine whether or not it's something that they really love and want to get back and enjoy again.
Yeah, I think there's something in that. But, geez, it's a big call.
The only person that can make a call like that is Nick Kyrgios
and
himself.
At that level of a sport, at the very pinnacle, the 0.0001% of the tennis-playing population, can you get back to that level after you're off?
And you know the other thing I was watching? This is what I was thinking when I was watching the tennis last night. And if you just joined us, Stefanos
Tsitsipas
defeated Roger Federer in four sets. And he is the real deal, this kid. When I was watching the tennis last night, I couldn't help but think about Kyrgios. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, like, because part of you wants him to realize his full potential. So you sit, and I'm sitting there watching, I think, oh, God, I hope he's watching this. I hope this... In some way, seeing a young player do what he's doing out there,
bit between the teeth,
against somebody like a Roger Federer, I hope that lights a fire somewhere inside him. Like, I hope that it's something that helps motivate him in some way.
Yeah. Marat Safin was the same as Nick off the SMS here, Tim. He went away and he came back a better player. There was a volcano of a player.
Yeah, no,
Marat
he did.
Safin.
He did for a while. Yeah, yep. He did.
He took a break. That's a very good point. So, what happened to Gary's voice over the break? Well, he's still on his break. He's headed to the Super Bowl in Atlanta. We'll be touching base with him there for sure. The NFL kicking off actually as we speak. Rams and Saints on our box here. Tim, I know you're a big fan of it. You'll keep abreast of it all throughout the morning. It is a big weekend in the NFL.
It is, and this is really, you should get excited about this NFL. You've got two of the oldest, best quarterbacks in the game, Breeze and Brady, and they're up against two of the young punks of the game who really know how to rifle the ball, Goff, and also Patrick Mahomes, who is just the most extraordinary young quarterback probably the NFL. And this is something that the old guys are saying. This guy does things that nobody has ever been able to do in that position ever before because of the way that he slings the ball. So there's a lot to be excited about over there.
Rams just about had the touchdown there, dropped the pill in the end zone. So we'll keep you abreast of that throughout the morning. Of course, 1-300-736-736 is the number, but we need to take a break right now because Sean Higgins is in the house. We'll speak to the North Melbourne All-Australian on the other side of this break.
For Schnitz, obsessed with golden brown pan-cook schnitzel and Melbourne Airport parking. For warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. One-hour terminal parking, only $12. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on 1116 SEN.
Yes, welcome back to the show. First show back with a bang, 2019. Sam Evan, Tim Watson in the chair with you on this Monday morning. Well, Tim, we got North Melbourne royalty in the house. He's a back-to-back best and fairest winner, too. All-Australian, if you don't mind as well.
He's a superstar.
Oh, he is a superstar. And before we get to him, though, North Melbourne supporters, jump on the line, 1-300-736-736. Go in the running for the Hilux. Might have a cracker of a call, cracker of a question for you. Sean Higgins, a big welcome to you, mate.
Morning, Tim. Morning, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Well, how's the preseason been? I think you're back for a week only, and at the end of that week, they slugged you with a bit of match simulation. Nothing like a bright, big welcome back to work.
Well, that's always the good part that the players like. But, yeah, we were fortunate enough this year across the industry to have 3 weeks off, and we have a really good block of some guys 5 weeks and some guys 7 weeks leading into Christmas, and then the 3 weeks where you get to spend time with family and friends, and we continue training, and then we got back together as a full group last Monday and had probably 35-40 minute hit out on Friday, and now we'll look to build that over the coming weeks and building into JLT.
And how are the new guys looking? I mean, I saw Aaron Hall. He looked really prominent in the intra-club. I mean, fans will want to know how Jared Polek's going, Dom Tyson, Tommy Campbell. How have they settled in?
Yeah, they all played on Friday, and they've all trained really well in the lead-up to Christmas. And it's not too often you get to bring in 4 or 5 mature-age players that have played senior football and can really add to the playing group. And it's going to add to our depth. It's added to our knowledge and our experience already, because we probably had a slight void in the 24 to 28 bracket of players, and these guys that have come into our football club really do fit that, and they also fit the need of the style of player that we're looking forward to including into our side in 2019.
They can really play. I mean, those four guys can all really play. I mean, you talk about the depth, but I would think that there'd be a strong possibility that the four of them will be in the first side for the first game of the year as well. I'm interested in Polak and Pitt, the way you're going to play them. I mean, both of them have played as part of the back six, wing back six. Do you see in the early stage, I know it's very early in the piece, so do you see either of those guys taking the kick-ins?
I'm not sure. The other one that we didn't mention is Jasper Pittard as well. So he's also there, and Tom Campbell in the ruck. So I think Polak will probably spend majority of the time on the wing. We know his class on a wing. Yeah. We also know the need that we last year probably lacked a little bit in that area, and the run and carry on the outside. And the kick-in's interesting because they're all really good kicks, and we know the rule change as well this year. We've only just started to scratch the surface of that at training at the moment.
And they got some toe too. So
yeah, and if you can penetrate that line, especially from the kick-in, and get it outside sort of 70 or 80, it is really hard to defend that, and you can score quite quickly. But Hawley on Friday played sort of mid-half forward. He's amazing athlete in terms of his speed and his power out of the contest. He uses the ball really well. So I'd expect him to play probably a little bit more through the mid to forward half of the ground. But Jasper and Jared are clearly ones that can use the ball well coming off halfback.
Are they quiet, all these new recruits, or are they prepared to speak up?
No, there's probably a little bit of just feeling that out early on. But now that you're into the swing of it, you can adapt into a footy club really quickly. And these guys have got a wealth of knowledge that we need to tap into as well, because they've played at some at successful sides, some have been around a long time. And I think they all feel comfortable in our group to speak up if they've got something to add. So we're trying to make that as comfortable as possible for them.
Who are the noisy ones in your locker room?
Luke McDonald.
You didn't need much time to think about
hesitation. That. Hey, did North make you look silly like everyone else last year, Tim?
Of course. Yeah, no, of course.
I can't believe we had him on the bottom. We being the majority of the collective.
But did were you surprised at all last year by the performance of the team?
I wasn't, because I'm biased when I get to see it every day. We were there was a number of us that were slightly annoyed, but also excited to prove a lot of people wrong this time last year, because we knew that if everything went relatively well and we stayed injury free for most part of the year and we got performances out of our senior guys that we hoped that we could challenge. And we did that the year before, but the problem was we dropped six games under six or 8 points. So that's a pretty significant swing if you can get even half of them right. And we're able to get a couple of really close wins last season. And look, we still fell short, but the pleasing thing is we showed enough as a playing group and as a football club to work on this year and then add some players, which we have done, and just tinker with our game plan a little bit. And I think you'll fans will be excited to see that going into the start of the season. And then we hopefully then will challenge again, probably along with 14 or 16 other sides, who maybe 18, who realistically think that they're a chance to play finals.
So a lot's been made of the three-week break. We were talking off-air that that was something that you actually did 12 months earlier. You did it last off-season. The boys took a longer break. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We came back earlier and then had the extra week at Christmas and felt that you do get a lot of work in pre-Christmas, and it's a really long year when you come back in the start of January, and a lot of family and friends and guys from interstate, by the time that they finish up, go back, Christmas, New Year, you really got to get back into a swing of it that first week. We felt that 3 weeks would be beneficial for us then, and also that just filters through to all the staff at our football club, coaches included, that it gets them to spend some quality time with family and friends before the season kicks off.
Are you playing this AFLX, will you?
If I get picked, I'll play.
You'll play though, won't you? You'll get picked.
You'll get picked.
Surely you'll get picked.
AFLX gold, surely.
Fickle you'd be finisher. You'd be the perfect player for
that. I think it'll be a bit of fun. And we.
Do you like the idea of it?
Yeah, I do. I played last year, actually, and also played the year before when we had the trial. The AFL came down to North and we had the trial then, and it was.
18 metre goal square, was that the one? They whip out the big goal square for you down there as well, I think, at the time?
No,
that was VFL.
Yeah, it was. It was still painted on the ground, actually. But, it's a bit of fun, and I think as long as you look at it differently from the season proper as well, and to be able to attract the best players in the competition to play in the upcoming month, I think fans will really enjoy it this year.
I read recently that you attribute part of your career turnaround or transformation, if we can call it that, to the above-the-shoulder stuff. Now, you cited a system called Quality Mind. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it did for you exactly in your footy?
Yeah, well, I still work. I was fortunate enough probably 5 to 6 years ago to meet a guy called Rich Maloney, who at that time was working at the Western Bulldogs in the leadership role. And he's got another business, Engage and Grow, but his passion is for Quality Mind and working with athletes and everyday people to eliminate the pressures and to deal with the feelings and the emotions that contribute to high-level performance. And I've been on the program and running the system now for 5 to 6 years and found significant improvement of number of friends and families are now on the Quality Mind program. And, I couldn't speak highly enough of it. And it's amazing the impact. And I think it's becoming more prevalent today. But the impact that the mind has on the body and performance, and if you can find an edge in that, well, I think you're going to be better placed than others.
Were you an anxious performer when you were a young man, just making your way in AFL football?
I wouldn't say anxious. I was always pretty confident in terms of going out and playing and that sort of thing. But one thing that I did have a lot early on in my career was a number of injuries. And to do the work that I've done now and the impact that the mind then has on the body and the body not being able to perform at the level it should, that's when I started the program, and along with injuries and performance, I think I've seen personally a really steady trajectory up in that because of the impact that the mind and getting that right can have.
Well, we're just on this space. How's Magic going? What's the latest feedback the players have got from Madge?
Yeah, well, Madge, like he said last week, he's really excited to get back into it. He's feeling really good, both physically and mentally, and he'll start. He's rode back to playing it whenever that is, and as long as Madge says he's feeling really good, which he did, it was great to hear from him and read the words that he put out to our fans and the whole footy community, because there was so much support as well for Madge. So we'll continue to put our arms around him, give him everything that he needs, the support that he needs, and it'd be great to see Madge back soon.
Won't delve into his personal case too much, but from a playing group perspective, I imagine, or I can't even imagine, the shock that would have gone on inside into the four walls there when you heard the news.
Yeah, it was difficult times for everyone, but there's a lot of people that were involved then, and first and foremost, it's to Madge, but then also to his family as well, and the football club did a fantastic job, along with the footy world, to show their support to Mad Jack and the whole Dore family.
Yep. So Forg missed the finals by a game last year. Before we get to the news, I want you to hang around as well. Is there an aim? Is there the logical aim? The next step is you play finals this year.
Yeah. Well, clearly, like I said before, that would be the aim of a lot of teams. We're no different. And personally, coming to the twilight of my career, that over the next couple of years, would really look forward to pushing case high and long into September.
All right, we're going to come up to the news with Meredith Gibbs. Plenty of messages, questions coming off the SMS. Ask Higo if calf injuries to Zeebel, Tarrant Wood and Jasper Pittard could threaten their preparation for round one, or 9 weeks, plenty of time to get them right? All okay?
Yeah, well, a number of those guys are back training already, and the other one or two that aren't fully training, they're running. So I'd expect them to be joining back into football and games over the coming fortnight.
Fantastic.
So you haven't got any. You haven't got any big names in the injury room at the moment.
Well, Jack had a clean out on his knee at the end of last season, and then tweaked his calf. So he's still filtering back in, and everyone else now is coming back into training.
All right, thanks very much. Park yourself there, Shawnee. We'll get to Meredith Gibbs in the SEN newsroom. It is, and we're speaking to North Melbourne star Shawnee Higgins. Shawn, question off the SMS. Sorry, Tim.
Sorry, I was just going to say, and you can join in the conversation if you like too. 1-300-736-736, 1-300-736-736. And our best caller goes in for the chance to win a brand new Toyota Hilux at the end of this year. So we take a look at our best callers. Each week we will name somebody on a Friday. They'll go into the draw. You get a chance to win a brand new Toyota Hilux. The
club's got an extra game in Tassie this year. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it's a great result for the footy club. And for us, we actually really enjoy going down there. And it always helps when you have some good performances over the last few years. And, we tend to play really well down there. There are unusual conditions. Sometimes the opposition probably don't like coming down to Hobart in the middle of winter when it's cold and there's snow on top of the mountains and it's blowing 100 k's an hour. But
so you feel it's become a home? You feel like it's become an advantage for you?
Yeah, it is. We get great support down there. Yeah. And I don't think it's until you go down and experience that we land on the plane, we get the bus, there's people everywhere in our colours. They feel the stand there. It's only a small crowd, but they're vocal and they get behind us, and we tend to play pretty well down there.
Do you think there'll be a trend? We talked about this earlier about some of the sports around the world, the trend now in higher scoring in the NBA and the NFL over in the States. So do you think that there'll be a trend in any particular direction this year in AFL football? Do you think we'll see more scoring this year because of the modifications to the setup?
Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll see faster scoring as well. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, the kick-ins won, and we touched on that, but clearly already I see a training that it is far easier to exit your back 50, and that's probably was the hardest part of the game, wasn't it? From a kick-in that if you could get it outside 50 or create a stoppage outside 50 or at least get into your front half, that was a really good result.
So what are you actually seeing for people
listening?
Well,
you're seeing now that the square, and it is only double the length, but it's double the width as well. It means that the whole area around that kicker is expanded.
Right.
And what was a short kick to the pocket can now be a short kick to 40 metres out. And once you've got it 40 metres out, the ground opens up significantly. So that's probably one area that on rebound and on transition from your back half that it's going to be easy to score. And then it'll be interesting to see where opposition start to defend from because it was a really big focus to keep the footy locked in your forward 50. Particularly from kick-ins. Maybe you can't do that now. And the other one with the 666 from centre bounce is that once you break that first line of the midfielders, unless you're going to press off even number, you haven't got that extra coming off the back of the square.
Yeah.
So you are then
there's no protection.
There's no protection at all. So, I mean, coaches are smart. There's a lot of coaches and football players these days that will analyse this closely, but it is opening up the attacking side of the game a lot more. And for the players that can break forward from stoppage, it can be really dangerous. And before you know it, you've broken that line and you are inside forward 50.
Well, you're going to love it.
Whets the appetite, doesn't it?
You are going to love it. But there's going to be a lot of defenders wearing frowns this year, if that's the case.
Yeah, well, the defenders have already touched base on that last week that When it is, because you come out of the stoppage, and as good a defender as you are with no support, it's going to be hard to stop. But the great thing is, we're going to see the likes of Buddy and Jack and Benny Brown up forward competing one on one. Hopefully,
that's what we want. We just want them
exactly.
That's what we want.
I think people are going to realise too how skillful the modern day player is, because you've been confronting sort of mess and outnumbering and all that type of thing. When you have even numbers and a little bit of space, I mean, it's a whole different equation for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because there wasn't anything like stopping teams last year from having 2-3 off the back of the square.
That's right.
And that happened at times. We probably didn't highlight it as much, and maybe the AFL were across it because of this rule change, or you drop your wingers back or half forward up, but you need your forwards in and defenders in inside 50. You got two wingers outside the square, and then it's just a battle of the midfielders, and the quality of the ruckman as well is going to be really important, because guys like Maxi Gawn that were getting on top in centre bounce, and you'd protect the centre bounce off the back of the square or the side of the square, you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
North Melbourne, this is going to be a side to watch this year, Tim, no doubt about it. Those additions to the back half, Aaron Hall in the front half, this guy running amok, less interference to worry about. It's going to be an amazing year if you're a Kangas supporter, I think. One game out of the finals last year, the platform's been laid. 1-300-KANGAS or membership.nmfc.com.au is the place to go for your North Melbourne membership. If you haven't signed up, you've been living under a rock, make sure you do so. Sean Higgins, thanks so much for your time,
Sammy,
this morning.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Sean. Good luck for the season, too.
Indeed. Absolute pleasure to have Sean Higgins in the house. We'll take a little break right now. We'll be back on the other side of this.
For Schnitz, obsessed with golden brown pan cook schnitzel and Melbourne Airport parking. For warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. 1 hour terminal parking, only $12. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on 1116 SEN.
Still to come on the SEN breakfast menu, of course, thanks to Schnitz. Enjoy handmade pan cook schnitzel tonight. Melbourne Airport parking for warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes, Tim.
And not all the reaction to the idea that maybe we're going to have some higher scoring in the AFL was met with positivity. There are some people out there that are a little bit concerned. They think it's just going to be a defenceless game of football, but that is not the case. There are going to be components of this game, having spoken to Sean on air and off air about this, where he thinks it's going to be great, but then there are times when obviously everyone can go back and they can defend and crowd and that type of thing.
Can't
too.
Win.
So I think the fascination will be in which coach employs which tactic to make the most of these rule modifications.
There'll be something. That's Pete from Werribee. Let's hope it doesn't become as boring as bat poo. And Chris from Murrumbina. Rules of the game. Watching four forwards lead out to clear air 30 times a match without defensive structures. No thanks.
And a pat on the back for you too, Sam's optimism for North Melbourne. I don't know where your optimism for North Melbourne came from, but he's very educated. Look for kids like Ahern, Mackay, Simpkin.
Or Bailey Scott.
Walker, Thomas.
More time would have asked Sean about Bailey Scott. I think he left an impression in that intra-club they played the other day as well. Someone else who leaves an impression on a daily basis on me, Tim, and I know it's the same with you, is David Zeta, and he's back for the news headlines.
Not always.
Sam, Tim, the NFC Championship game is underway between the LA Rams and the New Orleans Saints. Saints are 13-0 as it stands, and the winners into the Super Bowl. The game after that, Tom Brady's Patriots taking on the Chiefs. So we'll keep you up to speed with everything that happens there. Last night, of course, Stefanos Tsitsipas defeated Roger Federer on Rod Laver Arena 6-7, 7-6, 7-5, 7-6. The 20-year-old is through to the quarterfinals, where he'll face Roberto Bautista Agu, who defeated last year's finalist Marin Cilic in five sets. And every time Federer loses, the changing of the guard question seems to come up. It seems like he's too old, too slow, all the rest of it.
I wrote him off 5 years ago, by the way.
And he's done pretty well. I think that inspired him. John McEnroe did mention it in the commentary last night on Channel 9 that the guard may have changed, perhaps for real this time, and Roger Federer responded to it after the match.
Yeah, sure. He's in front of the mic a lot, so he's always going to say stuff, you know. I love John, and I've heard of that story the last 10 years. So from that standpoint, nothing new there. But about Stefanos, I think it's really nice for him. And I see him definitely, you know, being high up in the game for a long time.
I love John too, John McEnroe. I'd love to hear from you. 1-300-736-736. It's a very different style of commentary that he employs, isn't it, John McEnroe? It's like no one. In fact, I thought when I was listening last night, I thought Todd Woodbridge actually started to almost speak in a slow, drawling New York type accent there.
He went
stage.
Down to his level.
Not down to his level, because or it's across, up to his level. It's just he was almost dragged into a different style of commentary. But do you like that? 1-300-736-736, because he was, when he first started commentating, he was the star of tennis commentary around the world. Do you think he's still that John McEnroe? 1-300-736-736.
Especially compared to Jim Courier, because they're just such different styles of commentator.
Completely different. Yeah. It's like with McEnroe, and this is the thing you love about his commentary. It's like he's sitting where both of you are now, or sitting on your couch with you at home, and he's having a conversation about what he's seeing. It doesn't sound like he's actually forcing any commentary upon you.
Oh, it's like someone who's sitting in the stands. Like he's having a conversation and maybe under his breath during the point as well. He keeps it pretty quiet, but he just has this constant dialogue going about the game. And his mind is just fascinating.
And every now and then he just dials up a little story that is in the back there somewhere, and they're always interesting. He's been fantastic.
Yeah. Now, Roger Federer also, he's already talking about a return to the French Open, given he's lost in the fourth round here at Melbourne Park. It'd give him more time to prepare. He hasn't played there since 2015. So we know that's one of the reasons and one of the ways he's extended his career is by skipping certain tournaments and just getting himself, cherry ripe for Wimbledon and the US Open in the back half of the year. So it seems like he could be returning to Roland Garros, which would be great for French fans, and we'll see what happens there. But maybe that means he's going to play a bit more tennis in 2019. Manny Pacquiao, we spoke about already, but he called out Floyd Mayweather. He was in the crowd. He was a commentator and just watching the match. And there were some conspiracy theories that the Manny Pacquiao fight was just as a build-up to Floyd Mayweather. And that's something that Manny Pacquiao spoke about after the game.
Tell him to come back to the ring, and then we will fight.
Floyd, you're staying out of the ring, but we got a camera there. Are you going to accept that challenge? A simple nod will do on the monitor. Yes or no, Floyd? No reaction? Well, I'm sure he will go through the business of it, and Money Mayweather will make that assessment.
Yeah, so not too keen, please. Mayweather. Money Mayweather.
Oh, everyone's on the hook, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
And the Sixers down the Heat last night as well in the BBL, so plenty going on there. But the BBL versus the tennis seems to be a pretty interesting battle right now in terms of sporting viewership, so we'll see how that unfolds.
I'll tell you what, if you were to judge that purely by conversation and stories and newspaper columns, the tennis has got it completely covered at the moment, hasn't
it? That's a massive... Is that Melbourne's biggest sporting event, do you think?
The Australian Open? Yep. For 2 weeks, probably, yeah.
But the whole sporting calendar, in terms of its prestige, its money, its publicity, the juggernaut that it is.
Oh, the grand final's pretty...
The grand final is big, but the grand final's not an international event.
No. So I would think... The only was it competing against the...
Formula One Grand Prix
in Melbourne?
Melbourne Cup's a big event.
The Melbourne Cup, but... I think it's the biggest.
It's an amazing event. Incredible event, even if you don't like tennis.
Well, and this is one of the things that... this is just some feedback about McEnroe. I love listening to him. But somebody else, this is interesting. Commentary, very boring, pointless and off-putting, irrelevant commentary. That's from Dylan out there. This is what McEnroe was talking about last night, though, how the Australian, the way that we organised the Australian Open, how it led the world. Like we were the first one to have a stadium with a roof over it, and then everyone else has followed it, although I don't think the French have yet.
Right.
Wimbledon has, they'll unveil a new stadium later this year with a roof, so that'll be number two for them. The US Open has a roof now as well. I think there's two stadiums there that they can close off as well.
If you haven't been to Melbourne Park for a couple of years.
We've led the world. Yeah,
you're in for a shock. Yeah. It is an amazing facility.
I was sitting there last year because when we're doing the news out of there, and there was a team of Ferrari people that were off to the side of us. And I started talking to the lady from Ferrari. She was an Australian lady.
Oh, you did?
Well, she started talking to me about footy, and then we started talking about... I said, what are you doing here? And she said, oh, we're here as part of the Ferrari team. We're just looking at the way that the Australian Open is organised because it's a leader in the world. And so the whole Ferrari team came out here, all the people that were associated with the sport, and they were looking at what they were doing, not just the sport itself, but all the ancillary things that were going around there at the tennis as well.
Technically, it seems to be the best slam of the lot. The prestige, Wimbledon, obviously, but in terms of just the way it's built and the way that it operates and the amount of people that come through, I think 90,000 a day, the way that they're handling that is second to none. And also, just quickly before I let you go, end of the first, Saints 13, Rams zip. So we'll keep you up to speed on that.
Beautifully done, David Skeeter. Zeta, still to come on the breakfast menu. Thanks to Schnitz, of course. We're going to talk a bit of A-League. Luke Bratton from Melbourne City. City, look, they're just grinding it out.
I understand.
Channel 9's Jim Courier is going to join us. A lot of talk about John McEnroe, but Jim Courier, of course, as well.
We're going to put him under the pump like he puts the tennis players under the pump post-game.
That's what we're going to do. I've got a whole heap of questions here for him. Let's really hijack it. I'm looking forward to that. That all coming up. And just before we take a break, Will Pekowski. Now, Australia are going to play Sri Lanka that first test, playing a two-test series. Starts at the Gabba on the 24th, so in a few days' time. Will Pekowski close to that debut? You'd love to see him in the side. I mean, Scotty Bowle and Victorian teammate described him as the best young talent he has ever seen. Ever seen. No, nothing like a bit of pressure. So Will Pekowski, look forward to seeing him. We're going to take a break now, though. We'll be back on the other side of this with more on SEM Breakfast.
For Schnitz, obsessed with golden brown pan-cooked schnitzel and Melbourne Airport parking. For warmer welcomes and proper goodbyes. One-hour terminal parking, only $12. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson on 1116 SEN.
Did you make any kind of crowd's reaction to you today? Did you think they were a bit unfair to you? Did it affect you at all?
What do you want me to say to that question?
I don't know, just the truth, I guess.
I think that's a silly question to ask.
That is Maria Sharapova, Tim, asked whether her toilet break, and it was a seven-minute one timed as, was a bit of gamesmanship, maybe trying to take the sting out of Ashley Barty's sale there, or was a legitimate break?
We can solve this problem, okay, with the help of our people out there. What is a legitimate...
Do you get it done inside 7 minutes?
Well, that's the point, okay? What is a legitimate time frame for a toilet break? I know... When I was on the tools many years ago, when I was a plumbing apprentice.
Oh, plumbing apprentice.
There were people that might take between half and three quarters of an hour just to whittle away the day.
A few magazines, a bit of reading.
In the old Thunder Box. And if they stayed in the Thunder Box too long, you know what they were, don't you?
I think she went to the Thunder Box.
They were the tin Thunder Boxes on the work site. If they stayed in there too long, somebody would get a piece of 42 and just go bang, 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 and just wake them up. So I'm not sure. I would think 7 minutes is probably at the outer reaches, but, you know, like, people are entitled to go to the toilet, are they not?
On a serious note, yeah, they are, actually. They're entitled to go once during a match. So she hasn't broken the rules as such, but the question is that...
Well, it's not cheating, then,
is it? It's not cheating, but some people say that every time she loses... And I don't watch enough Maria Sharapova to know, but every time she loses a set, she's got a bit of a habit that she needs to go to the toilet.
Yeah, it's gamesmanship, isn't it?
Probably is.
That's what it is.
And it didn't bother Ash Barty. She dismissed it. She was asked about it after the match. She said she had no issue with it. She waited in the shade.
So why do we worry about it, then?
Because we like to hate on things, don't we?
Yeah, well, as a society. The crowd that were there yesterday, they booed her when, well, large sections of the crowd reacted like this.
Well, it has been 7 minutes. She isn't breaking any rules here.
No, she wasn't breaking any rules, but she did it, and she was trying, obviously, she got smashed in that second set, and maybe she thought...
Maybe she couldn't find some paper. I mean,
maybe it was a long walk. She didn't use the toilet on the court. She had to, yeah. Maybe someone didn't restock the roll.
Mm.
All sorts of possibilities.
She's not somebody that people warm to, is she, Maria Sharapova?
No.
As big as her career has been... As much publicity as she's received over the years, she's not somebody that people have warmed to over the journey.
I'll tell you something else we're not really warming to at the moment is SpiderCam. What happened there? So straight after this match...
Well, just explain what SpiderCam is.
SpiderCam is the camera they're using that provides that 360-degree effect, I guess we can call it, of the player's stroke making. It's on a wire above the court, and it provides 360-degree. We've seen it at the Big Bash. We've seen it at the AFL Grand Final.
The AFL Grand Final, yep.
I think Glenn Maxwell hit it, actually, this year earlier in the season in the Big Bash, straight up in the air and into the SpiderCam. But after Ash Barty was still on court, thanking her supporters and lapping up the acclaim, SpiderCam just made a beeline for the chair umpires.
Well, I think it went rogue.
It just went off.
That's what it did. It went rogue and
took off the roof.
It could have been. It could have been really, really serious. Pete's joined us on the road. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, boys, and happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Pete.
Thanks, Timmy. I'm just thinking whether Maria just may get really, really nervous when she's losing, and that's why it happens at those times.
That may well be the case, and you should be entitled to take a toilet break if you need a toilet break. Pete, you might have hit the nail right on the head. Mick is in Kings Park. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning, boys. Hey, you got to go, but my call this morning is mate, watching that Tsitsipas Federer game, that just brought back memories of Agassiz and Sampras and I. Where it was just serve volley, it was just tennis. It was, mate, it was brilliant last night. That's the way tennis should be played.
That's a very good call from you, Mick, this morning. That's exactly the way that tennis should be played.
Just
the
me,
variation in their games last night.
They rekindle memories of Marcos Baghdatis. It's not just because they're Greek, of course, but they're young. They've got a bit of cult hero-ship about them. I just hope he went to stalactites afterwards, and I hope that really catches on again. I love that place. And the Lambs, as you said, are in serious jeopardy in Melbourne this week. Thanks very much to Pete and Mick. They will receive a Bataki voucher, Tim. In fact, all callers this week get one, and they go into the running, of course, to be the caller of the week and potentially the caller of the year. And you could win a Toyota Hilux. How good's that? Something else that's very good is Meredith Gibbs. She's in the SEN newsroom. Well, his name's Luke Bratton. Thanks for joining us, Lucas.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, absolute pleasure. Tell us about the campaign. I mean, you've been dealt a few curveballs, and we know all about the Fornaroli saga, and you don't have a designated striker, it would seem, and yet you just keep grinding them out, and you're sitting fourth. It's been a promising campaign, I would have thought.
Yeah, with everything going on, it's been decent. Obviously, it could be a lot worse. But you know, I think that January is an important time. We've got a lot of games, and hopefully, you know, we can sort out this striker situation. It's been going on for too long now, and you know, if we're serious about winning anything, then we need a number nine that can, you know, finish off chances. But like you said, we're grinding out results, and it's good that we're fourth.
How do you solve that problem with or about your striker?
I wish I knew the answer to that, to be honest.
It's not easy, is it?
Yeah, it's not easy, especially with Bruno being marquee and all that sort of thing. It makes it very, very hard, but I'm sure the club's figuring something out, and him and the club and Bruno are, you know, hopefully working together to sort it out, because it's not good for Bruno sitting in the stands not playing, and it's not good for the club. It's not a good look with the marquee sitting in the stands, and we're playing Richie Dillard up front, which, you know, he's done a great job, and surprisingly he's our top goal scorer. But yeah, like I said, hopefully it'll get sorted out.
Yeah, and look, I didn't want the whole interview to be about Bruno Fornaroli, and I know you guys get asked about it all the time, but just the last one on it, though, from a teammate and a team perspective, are the players frustrated that there hasn't been a resolution one way or the other?
I think that, you know, the players are not frustrated, just sort of, you could say frustrated, yeah. You know, it's been going on a long time. Like you said, we get asked a lot about it. Like I said, if we want to win anything, if we want to be serious contender for the title, then we need a striker. So like I said, hopefully that's sorting itself out. And all we can do as players is concentrate on going out and playing with the 11 we got in the field and winning and grinding out results, like you said.
And it's not a large squad. You mentioned the schedule earlier. So over January, you've got seven games for the month. Three of them are away. I mean, is there a solution to that? I mean, can the league look to start the season a month earlier, perhaps? Like maybe right after the hot on the heels of the AFL Grand Final, so this you don't have this hectic time?
I guess so. You know, we don't mind this little January period. It is tough, especially with small squads. But the pre-season is so long that, you know, we do a lot of work and we prepare physically for this. And, you know, I think that even on the game on Saturday night against Perth, you know, they're top of the table. They're one of the best teams in the league at the moment. And, you know, all the boys ran more than they have in any other game, which just proves that, you know, physically we're very, very fit. So hopefully, you know, tactically we can sort it out and combine the two. And, you know, I think we've got a great chance of doing something special this year.
Yeah, and the victory game with Wellington Phoenix, the 3-3 thriller yesterday, Kevin Muscat, I don't know if you caught this, said the breaks for the cramp have to stop, and it's not seen in any other sport, and it's obviously a real problem in not just the A-League, but probably football worldwide. I mean, do you subscribe to that theory? You'd like to see that sort of stuff cleaned up, if possible?
Yeah, of course. I struggle watching games these days where it's just stop, start, stop, start. I do think it ruins the game. You know, if it's cramped, then, you know, you either continue or you jog off the field. You know, I'm saying that now, but if it probably happened to us in the 89th minute, I'd tell someone to go down. But that's just what the game's come to these days. But yeah, like Kevin's spot on. You know, for the crowd, for the viewers, it's not great. And I struggle to watch games where people are going down every couple of minutes, and or free kicks are given every couple of minutes. And you know, if we get that sorted, then I think, you know, the A-League will, you know, be watched by more and more people.
Hey, now, plenty of people watched that goal you cracked in December, one of the goals of the season, the volley from outside the box. As I said, it was early December, I think. You're still dining out on that one? Have you been able to exhaust all bravado options there?
No, I think I've run out of it, mate. it was good, but I can't hold on to it. Hopefully I can do something similar in the next couple of weeks. But like I said, that was probably my best goal. But, yeah, I think all the boys have gotten over me talking about it.
And are you playing golf today? Now, you still got that? I read you had PGA Tour ambitions. You take it pretty seriously, obviously.
Yeah, I do. I'm not playing today. I haven't played for, obviously, the busy schedule. I haven't played for 2 weeks, and it's killing me. But, I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And every chance I get, I play. So that was it was a serious comment, but at the same time, ambition and ability, I might be getting that mixed up.
Hey, Luke, talking about a busy schedule, you take on Western Sydney tomorrow night, then you fly to New Zealand to take on Wellington on Saturday. That's a busy schedule.
Yeah, it's... But to be honest with me, I'd rather be playing games than training. So I enjoy it. The travel's a bit hectic. But, like I said, we're in the pre-season, we worked very, very hard to prepare for this. So, yeah, we'll deal with it fine.
Well, Luke, as we said, the club's been dealt its fair share of curveballs this year, but you're fighting the fight in action again tomorrow night, as we say. But you held the leaders, league leaders Perth Glory to a 0-0 draw as well on Saturday night. So you're doing well. Keep up the good work. Hello, welcome back to the show. SEM Breakfast, Sam Edmund, Tim Watson. Tim, Monday-itis.
You've got to work.
Helps when you've got the cans on.
I'll just give you a little bit of advice, okay? You've got to work on your comeback technique. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
that's
no, all. Well, I was caught off guard there, that's all, because I was looking at the NFL.
You can't be caught off guard.
No, well, you can't be.
There is a very exciting game going on at the moment. You've been watching it. I've been watching it here in the studio, and it is almost as finely, keenly balanced as you could possibly have a game at halftime.
So the winner plays the Chiefs or the Pats, of course, and the score at the moment, 13-10 Saints. Who gets it done?
Home team, always. John is on the road. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Tim, how you going?
I'm good. How are you this morning, John?
I'm as fit as a trout and three times as dangerous.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. You've had a good break then, a Christmas break.
No, worked through. But that's okay. All right. Unfortunately, Tim, I think you're wrong when you say that cricket hasn't belonged to anyone this season, because I think it has. And I think Cricket Australia has made the whole thing belong to 2020. And all they're interested in is making a dollar. The Sheffield Shield, which used to be the premier first-grade cricket breeding ground for our young fellows, has been absolutely... it's just crazy what they're doing there, stopping it halfway through, lengthening the number of 2020 games to make more money. And then they whinge that they've got no one that can build an innings. Well, I think if they went backwards so they could go forwards, I think that'd be a much better way of doing it.
Yeah, Johnny, and John, what, just on Curtis Patterson's inclusion in the Test team, you happy with that, or the squad at least?
Well, to be honest, I've never heard of Curtis Patterson, yeah. But if he's made 100 and 100 in two innings, and they're saying that way to runs gets you a run,
yep.
Then he obviously deserves to get in.
Yep. No, appreciate the call, John. Appreciate that. This off the SMS, Tim. I think you'll find Khawaja will open the batting with Harris. Curtis Patterson will come in at 3. Will Pekowski will bat and come in at 6. So a bit of fresh talent for Sri Lanka. First test at the Gabba coming up later on this week.
Well, if Australian cricket fans don't know the name of Patterson, then what chance have the Sri Lankans got of having a good handle on him?
Yeah, indeed. Just got in the car. Where is Gary Lyon? So just for the last time, Tim, can you vouch for him?
I've got no idea.
Has he got an alibi?
I've got no idea where he is this morning.
There's a lot of talk about the jungle. You know, Shane Crawford's gone in. We know Durham at Burton is there. Five-time day, five-time night. Could the Melbourne superstar, you know, the Lyon, be headed to the jungle to
Who
be
knows?
The king of it?
Who knows? I don't like to speculate.
Okay. All right, you've been very coy about it.
I don't like to speculate on where he might be or where he might turn up next.
Oh, you've been very coy. So the cricket incoming as well. Saints 13, Rams 10 in the NFL. Lots of messages for the Wolf. Indeed, look, he's absent, but he'll be back. What is the date that he's back? He's taking another week, I think, off after this, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Sri Lankan series, as I say, coming up. Socceroos taking on Uzbekistan Tuesday morning as well. We spoke about the A-League with Luke Bratton earlier, but the international scene, the Asian Cup entering the final round of 16 stage. Socceroos, Uzbekistan is Tuesday morning as well. And Liverpool on the hunt for their first Premier League title in the Premier League era. And Manchester City closed the gap to 4 points there. So we're keeping our eyes on all things Premier League as well.
And Jose Mourinho, most people probably listening now wouldn't have been with us at 6 o'clock this morning, but he unveiled the mystery of a 15-year
Well, it was a lot
story.
Of intrigue because was it urban myth that he hid in the laundry basket?
Well, 2005 he spoke about it himself overnight, and he said that in fact it was true. He received a ban, so he couldn't actually go and coach on
the
sidelines.
Yep.
Right. So what he did, he arrived very early at 7 a.m. in the morning. He stayed inside the dressing room, so no one saw him arrive. And then he just waited inside and coached from inside and then hid himself in a washing basket at some stage too throughout the course of the day so that he wasn't spotted. And he even thought that he might have expired inside the washing basket.
Well, getting him in wasn't the problem. It was getting him out was the problem.
That's
because
right.
All the UEFA officials were looking for him. Like, Jose's not in the stands where he was entitled to be.
Yeah.
We know he's not on the touchline where we banned him from being. There's people fiddling with their ears on the touchline, clearly getting messages. Pieces of paper were coming from nowhere. Substitutions were being made right after those pieces of paper arrived. So they were on the hunt for him. There was a national manhunt for Jose Mourinho, and they've smuggled him out with the lid on the laundry basket. All that washing around you, that thick stench.
Yeah. And he couldn't breathe.
Oh, he
gets claustrophobic. He thought that his time was up. I've got a feeling that Brian Taylor, the great BT, I got a feeling that he was banned from coaching or entering the arena. I think he received a ban when he was coaching at Paran.
Yeah.
And I think what they did is that they got a cherry picker. There'll be people out there that were probably there that day watching this VFA game that I think they got a cherry picker and they put him up in, I'm sure it's BT, they put him up in the cherry picker and then they hoisted the cherry picker out over the side of the ground. And then he still addressed the players at quarter time and three quarter time, but he wasn't allowed to step onto the ground itself. Now, have I got that story right? Have you ever heard that story before?
I haven't
You're looking
heard that.
At me quite quizzically.
I am. But the one that comes to mind for me, and I was going to ask the SEN family for some nominations.
But, yeah.
1-300-736-736 for coaches who have either entered or exited buildings or press conferences in strange fashion to maybe avoid the media. And the one that comes to my mind is Jack Riewoldt, not a coach, of course, but as the player, the day he famously scaled the fence at Punt Road.
Yeah, and then went over to the train station.
Didn't have a Mikey. So the quick getaway was spoiled when he realised I didn't have the Mikey. Yeah.
Famously, Mel Brown, he was suspended too. And I think he wasn't allowed to enter. This was over in Claremont, in the Waffle. And I think that what he ended up doing was coaching up on the bank because he wasn't allowed to go onto the arena.
Into the fence.
Steve is in Listerfield. He may have just dropped off the line there. He was there in Listerfield. I think he was going to give us a little bit of an update on that story, maybe put a little bit more.
Jam in the donut? I haven't heard that. So cherry picker style.
It was something like that. So that was BT, but Mal Brown actually – I think he called all the players to where he was. So the huddle went off the ground up onto sort of the bank, And that's where, or maybe it was Mel Brown that was in the cherry picker.
Yeah, I think it might
maybe
have
I'm getting two stories confused.
It might have been, but who cares? They're amazing. That was Mel Brown, Timmy, off the SMS. Yeah, so there you go. Plenty of talk off the SMS about Curtis Patterson getting that late call up to the Australian squad for the first test against Sri Lanka. If Wade runs is what gets you in the Australian test team off the SMS, then why is Wade overlooked? Plenty of nominations for Wade, who's been on fire for the Hobart Hurricanes in the BBL as well as the longer formats as a specialist batsman, which we'd like to see. He doesn't have to keep, but maybe he needs to bat further up the order was the feedback he was getting from the Australian selectors.
Well,
anyway.
I can't put my thumbs up for him. He stiffed me last week.
What do you mean?
Well, he was supposed to do an interview on the sidelines with me last week, and he didn't turn up.
He brushed it.
Well, maybe there was a miscommunication there somewhere.
Oh,
I'd like to think
claim.
That was the case.
Big claim. Maybe he had a Sharapova sort of length toilet break, and he didn't make it on time.
Maybe. I tell you what, we've started something here. Harold Martin was the coach that went up in the cherry picker in the VFA.
Ah,
now,
so that
that's
was
come through from Ash in Yarra Glen.
And Ben.
And Ben in Preston. It was Harold Martin. Okay, that's three Harold Martins we've got.
Cherry
we've got
picker.
Two Mel Browns, and we don't have a BT, and that's where the story started.
He's been slandered, has he, Brian?
I know BT listens to the program. BT, what was it? There was something peculiar about the way that he went about addressing the players.
There's another one. Harold Martin used a cherry picker while being suspended as coach of Box Hill.
I don't reckon H was the only one that's done this, though.
No.
I reckon it's been other coaches that have done this, or maybe they just thought of doing it.
Got a coach or a player who
please
comes
tell me
to
it
mind,
was BT.
famous media escapes or just wanted to avoid the fans or the spectators or the crowd in general, let us know. 1-300-736-736 or a text 0433-98-1116. Still to come, we're going to talk more Australian Open with Channel 9's Jim Courier, Australian Open champion back in the day. And now a famous commentator, of course.
This has got a little bit more sinister. Wasn't it BT that bugged the opposition room so they could hear their tactics?
Oh, Campbell and Heathmont. Oh, boy.
Well, I haven't heard that. I doubt whether he would revert to a tactic like that.
Okay, good save. All right, we'll take a break now. We're back after this. Jim Courier, still to come, SEM Breakfast. Well, a man who has stayed svelte and, to be honest, looks like he could still take the court. And his name's Jim Courier, and any man who's willing to jump in the Yarra River for a swim gets my respect straight away. So a big good morning to you. Channel 9's, we can call him now. Jim Courier, welcome, Jim.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be with you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on to the show, I should say, Jim. We've been after nominations for your post-match, or we wanted to put you under the grill this morning, actually, because we just marvel at these post-match press conferences that you conduct. And what's the secret to them, mate? Because in many cases, they're almost better than the match themselves.
Well, here's the secret. The secret is always interview someone who just did something that they enjoyed. They just won a match on Rod Laver Arena. So you start off with a pretty good advantage when you know that the player is going to be in a great mood, is celebrating a wonderful day at the office. And then it's about reading the situation. You know, if it's a really tense match, a long, tense match, then the interviews need to be shorter. They need to be more focused on the tennis. But if they're a blowout match, then that's a time to explore and hopefully give the audience a chance to get to know the players a little bit more. And that's the way that I approach it is, you know, I'm a conduit for the fans to let them inside the players and have a reason to cheer for them a little bit more.
Jim, it's a tough job and you do it unbelievably well. I just want to touch, though, on that match last night. Did that surprise you in any way?
It did surprise me that Federer was unable to consolidate all of those breakpoint chances that came and went. But on the other hand, that you have to tip your hat to Stefanos Tsitsipas. That he's a player that we know is talented. You don't get ranked top 20 in the world for free. You have to earn it. But I have to say I was quite pleasantly surprised at how he held up mentally in that match. He was starting to struggle physically. He got treated for a little fatigue late in that fourth set. So Federer could have somehow won the fourth. I think he would have run away with it, but we'll never know because Tsitsipas just bullied him there in the tiebreaker and got a really remarkable win.
Well, we look back on his career and say that was the moment when he became what he is, maybe a great player?
Yeah. I mean, if he does become the player that we expect him to be, which is a multiple Grand Slam champion, that will be a significant pivot in his career. And we look back on Roger Federer's career, and I'm not suggesting that Tsitsipas is going to win 20, but we do think he's going to be a really terrific player. Federer beat Pete Sampras as he was on the rise as a young player at Wimbledon in the same round, the fourth round. And that was a real confidence win for him, and that really set him on the right path. For Tsitsipas now, he knows he can do things he wasn't sure he could do this time yesterday.
And Jim, take us inside the locker room, the men's tennis locker room. When a result like that goes down, does it just send shockwaves through the rest of the draw?
It certainly puts people on notice, and it creates a bit more of an aura for Stefanos Tsitsipas. There's another young player who's doing that this week as well, an American named Francis Tiafoe, who beat Grigor Dimitrov. And if you haven't seen his post-match celebrations, go online and check them out. They're pretty remarkable. And these types of wins, when you play significant players and you beat them over best-of-five sets, they have a lot more value and a lot more weight for players as far as respect in the locker room. So those players have definitely earned it this week.
Tim, I'm going to ask a Jim Courier question, because Jim's been coming here for a long, long time as a player and now a commentator. So the tournament's changed. We spoke about it earlier, for the good. The city has changed a lot over the years for the good as well. What do you do when you're here, Jim, when you're not at the court? What do you do in Melbourne?
Well, I'm at the courts most of the time, so I don't get out a bunch. But I have my go-to restaurants that I like to go to, my go-to coffee shop. So I'm a bit of a... I've got my routines, and I like to walk around the city. You know, I get a chance to walk back and forth. I'm staying right in the central business district, so it's not far from the courts. But I don't get a chance to do a whole lot. I don't get to the beach. You've probably seen the way I look. The sun is not my friend, so I don't get out and do a whole lot of that. But I have gotten out and played a little golf in years past when I've had a day off. Not sure I'll get one this year, but I love the city. I've seen the changes as well since I started coming here back in 1990, and it's just... it's amazing. This place is an incredible city.
Hey, Jim, when you were interviewing Rafael Nadal, you said, before you asked the question, you said, you're not going to like this question. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to like this question. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable.
All right.
I Googled you yesterday. You know the first thing that came up?
Don't know.
What is Jim Courier worth?
Oh, what am I worth?
Yeah, what are
That's
you worth?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I'm high value. I mean, I feel like I am. My kids think I'm worth something because I put food on the table for them and buy them a toy every now and then.
Is that
an evasive answer?
That is an evasive answer. You got two boys. Is that right?
I have two young boys. Yeah,
yeah, two young boys. Okay, this is the question. Okay, I know you love your sports. Baseball's big in the States, NFL's big in the States, basketball's big in the States, and obviously you were a superstar tennis player. If you had the opportunity to lean or push your child or encourage them to go in either direction, which one of those four sports would you like your kid to play?
So outside of tennis?
Well, tennis is obvious, yeah.
Yeah, outside of that, I would probably say baseball, and here's why. And Andre Agassi feels the same way. He and Steffi Graf's son is a very, very talented baseball pitcher. The reason I like baseball is there's career longevity. You get a nice off season. I've thought this through, by the way. You get a nice long off season.
Yeah.
The contracts are guaranteed, so you can do quite well financially. So you know, for me, I think baseball is creates a good quality of life for someone. Whereas certainly the NFL can be a little bit more taxing on your body. And I don't know if you've seen me jump, but basketball is not really an option for someone with my genes. So there you go.
We got a lot of parents listening to this program, and we often talk about, you know, encouraging kids to get into sports. What's your attitude to all that with your boys?
Very much. My boys are young. They're 2 and 4, but we have them already doing little 30-minute kids tennis clinics and golf clinics. And we have the T-ball in the backyard. We get out and we get active, but we want them to do it with other kids. I think it's much more fun for them to do it in an environment where they're playing with their friends as opposed to the intensity of one-on-one. They're a little too young for that from my point of view. But there are certainly other examples of families starting the one-on-one stuff, and the kids have the aptitude for it. But that's just our take on it. We just decided that's the way we'd like to do it.
Well, Jim Courier, we are glued to the Australian Open. Thanks for being so generous with your time. We'll be watching on Channel 9 later on.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.